I'm a little embarrassed that last week, when I told you about the Midrash that says that Habakkuk was the son of the Shunammit woman who then died and Elisha revived, I'm embarrassed that I didn't remember it was the Haftarah that we read. There I was in shul and I said, whoops! You thought that everybody, thank you, that everybody would be reminded in shul of what we were learning. But yes, in shul, we actually, in the Haftarah, we read about the Shunammit. We read about two very strong women. The Haftarah is amazing because it adds to our impression of the strength of Sarah Imenu by giving us the example of two incredibly strong women who are concerned about their children. And we have first the Isha Achat Minishei Bnei Hanaviim is the first woman who was one of the wives of, She was the wife of one of the Nevi'im, Slicha, probably the wife of Ovadia, and then of course the Shunammit, and the story of the boy that Chazal tell us was called Habakkuk.
Wasn't Yonah?
Yonah is the boy that Eliyahu revived. Habakkuk is the boy that Elisha revived, because when Elisha told the woman she was going to have a baby, he said, "Lamoed hazeh, remember ke'et chaya, at this time next year you are going to have at choveket, choveket ben, you will be cuddling, you will be hugging a child." Remember that we said there's a little historical problem with that, in that Elisha was a lot before the time of Habakkuk, which we are assuming was during the time of the reign of the king Menashe. And we're assuming that he didn't live for 200 years. So a little babua, a little historical bubble.
Just a little digression. I didn't understand exactly what is the connection to the first story of the connection with the Shem. What is that connection to the Haftarah? Why didn't they just start the Haftarah with the second
part? I think, I'm not sure why Chazal, I haven't reviewed it for a long time. So when I teach Haftarah, I feel so much better because I feel that I'm really on top of, you know, all of these things. But I think that they put both women to really show the heritage of Sarah Imenu. I think that the emphasis is on strong women. She asked why they, in the Haftarah, they put both women. It's a very long Haftarah. It's longer than the average. The average Haftarah, a Haftarah is supposed to be L'chol HaPachot 22 Psukim. And don't ask me why, but I remember learning that it's supposed to be at least 22 Psukim. And this is much longer, and we have Haftarot that are much longer.
Excuse me, but in the middle of the Haftarah, it says that Sfardim finished seeing the shares of the Ashkenazim sort of continued.
You're right. We have a lot of instances of that, Chani, where Sfardim end or Sfardim add or it's different. However, that's a good question, but both women are the story of the strength, the incredible strength of women. At any rate, that's not what we're learning now. It's just that interesting connection. And right now we are learning the Navi Habakkuk, and we did mention last week that we do a historical or an historical jump from Nahum, who was still talking about Ashur and the destruction of Ashur, to, so to speak, the next major empire that rules the world, that ancient world, which is Babel. When Habakkuk is giving his nevuah, Bavel has not yet done their damage, but they are on the rise. The damage, I mean, Churban Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash being destroyed, desecrated, Am Yisrael sent into Galut. So Habakkuk is talking about Bavel, and he's very interesting, because what he talks about is, Rabboni Shel Olam, how could you do this? How could you allow this to happen? If Am Yisrael deserve to be punished, then what's with the people of Bavel? Certainly they are much worse. That is the topic of Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is Habakkuk complains about the fact that Bavel is going to attack Am Yisrael, and that they will attack them in an extremely cruel manner. Yonah's Tana is a little bit different, because Yonah did not want to be the one who made it happen, you know, who actually got them to do tshuva. Habakkuk is not sent to Bavel at all. And destroy B'nai Israel. We have here, interesting that you mentioned that, Marcel, Nevi'im that, so to speak, are standing up for the kavod of Am Yisrael. Both of them. Rather than berating Am Yisrael and telling him to do tshuva and all the stuff that we have in Hosea and Amos and Micha, in which their focus is Am Yisrael and telling them that disaster will happen unless they do tshuva. There's not that focus, it's different, right? Why are you doing this, Rabboni Shel Olam? Yonah is saying, I'm out of this, right? And Habakkuk is saying, why? The Perek is very organized. It is really organized. And we're going to see that Habakkuk, all three prakim, you can almost make an outline of what it is that he's saying. And so Perek Aleph, we have Roman numeral 1, outline form, introduction. And the introduction is, of course, Pasuk Aleph, which is Hamasa, Asher Chazah Habakkuk Hanavi. Hamasa, remember, is a negative nevuah, burden. A nevuah that the Navi doesn't want to see. He sees Bavel coming and he doesn't want to see it. So this Masa is the vision that Habakkuk saw, Habakkuk the Navi. Interesting, if you notice in that one Pasuk, there are three words for nevuah. Masa, Chazon, Chaza, and Nevuah Navi. All in that one very short Pasuk, and that's the introduction. I don't remember that if I pointed out last week or not that he does not identify his father, where he's from, his Shevet, where he lived, the time that he lived in, nothing. Habakkuk HaNavi, period. She's Jewish. She's Jewish. The Isha HaShunamit, Shunem is a city. Shunem is a city. The Tsarfatit, by the way, is also Jewish, because it's not Tsarfat, France. It's Tsarfat, a city in the north of Eretz Yisrael. And the Shunamit, remember please, Isha Gedolah. Gedolah Mishunem. This is not an ordinary person. She's an extremely great person. Gedolah in every sense of the word. Okay, Roman numeral 2, which we can say is Habakkuk complains about the evil that is going to happen when Babel comes upon Eretz Yisrael. And so he says, Ad ono Hashem shivati v'lo tishma. He's reacting to his nevuah, because it hasn't happened yet, right? He's seeing in his chizayon, he is seeing what's going to happen. And he says, for how long, Hashem, that ad ono, right? For how long, Hashem, shivati, will I cry out? But it's kind of, it's not, shivati is like past, it's not past. Woo! It's past perfect. For how long will I cry out, v'lo tishma?
What is a past perfect?
Past perfect is ongoing past. Past into the present, and it moves. It's constant. So for how long am I going to cry out on a constant basis, if you want to be exact? Will I continue crying out? Go on crying out, and you're not going to listen. V'lo tishma, you're not going to listen to me. Ezak elecha chamas. I will cry out to you about the violence, or I will call out and say, violence. And that's also, this is future perfect, ongoing. It's all ongoing. For how long will I continue to cry out to you about what I see in my chizayon, about the chamas that I see that's going to happen, v'lo toshia, and you are not going to save the people. There will be no salvation. For how long am I going to cry out? Lama tar'eni avel. Pasuk Gimel now. In Chavakuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Lama tar'eni avel. V'amal tabit. It's so
beautiful.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's like, why are you showing me avel is evil? It's the easiest way to translate it. Lama tar'eni avel, why are you showing me? Remember, it's in his chizayon. Why are you showing me these terrible things that are going to happen? Va'amal tabit, and why are you looking at the amal is the terrible things that they're doing. In other words, why are you looking at the negative?
That
he's saying you're looking at the bad things.
Yeah,
in other words,
the other ones didn't say they were any good things.
What other one?
Other
Nevi'im? No, you can't say that the other Nevi'im didn't say any good things, but the other Nevi'im emphasized the bad things.
Yeah.
And he is looking at the other side of it. The other Nevi'im are looking at the chata'im and saying you have to stop doing the chet, whereas he is saying, why are you only looking at the chet? It's exactly that way. Why, Rabboni Shlolem, why are you showing me the bad? And why are you only looking at the evil that Am Yisrael are doing? Vishod v'chamas l'negdi. I see destruction and I see violence before my eyes. Vayehi riv umadon yisa. As a result of which there is argument. Umadon is like din, judgment. There will be questions. People will be arguing against what Hashem is doing. They will say, is this right? What judgment can we make? I want to read the Malbim because he clarifies this. Notice how he speaks. This is going to be typical of Habakkuk. There's like a phrase, a phrase, a phrase, a phrase. Very, very organized.
One second. Did I understand what you're saying, that Shofar Hamas is what the Jews are doing, or what Hashem is doing to the Jews?
I think in this place, it's what Hashem is saying Bavel is doing to the Jews. Bavel is going to do to the Jews, but it could be the other two. It could also be, why are you looking at only the negative that's happening? But let's see what the Malkum says. It'll clarify, maybe, I hope. I think it clarified. Okay, I'm going to read you the Malkum. Lama to'ein shenit. He's complaining, secondly, al masha Hashem marelo binevuah, and what Hashem is showing him in the nevuah, in the prophecy, hatzlachat Bavel, the success of Bavel. Lama tareini oven, why are you showing me this, the terrible things that they're doing? Ve'eich amol tabit ata, and that you are only looking at the negative things that Am Yisrael are doing. Sha'al yidei sh'tar'eni zot b'nevuah, that since you are showing me this in the prophecy, mivo'ar ki zeh na'aseh b'hashgachatcha. You get it? Since you're showing it to me in Nevuah, it's not an accident that's happening. It's not just a coincidence, if there's such a thing in the world. It's that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are going to bring this about with Ashgacha. You intend for this to happen. Ve'eich efshar she'oven va'amol kazeh yetzei lapoal al yodecha. It is a little bit like Yonah, isn't it? And how is it possible that this kind of evil, oven va'amol kazeh, like this, will come about through you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will come about through your hand? V'yoter mizeh, and even more than that, here's your question. Ki shod v'chamas lenegdi, I see the destruction and the violence opposite me. Ratza lomar, what he's saying is, she'eini ro'eh b'nevuah acharit ha'resha v'kil yono, rak ani ro'ehu tamid lenegdi. I don't see the end of the nevuah. It's like before me all the time. He's talking about that present perfect and future perfect aspect of the grammar here. He's saying, you're showing it to me going on all the time. I don't see the end. I don't see what's going to happen. I just see that it is before me all the time. V'hatzlachato timashech yamim rabim. And that success of Bavel, I see, is going to go on for many days. Simply a long time. A long time. So what he's saying is, so here, it would seem to be, Chana Rachel, that he is saying it's the violent acts of Bavel that he's seeing, and he sees that it is constant, it is continual, better word, continual, it is going on, and it's going to go on for a long time. Vayehi riv va'al yedekach, and through this, Yitave riv neged darkei Hashem. And via this that I see going on, there is going to be developed an argument against the ways of Hashem. You know what's going to be the result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? People are going to start arguing about the way you conduct the world. V'gam madon yisa. Al yidei kach, nosim madon v'din v'dvarim negdecha. And not only that, but they're going to start making judgments and arguments against you. Shebnei ha'olam yesh lohem negdecha riv umadon. Bnei ha'olam, human beings in general, will have against you an argument and a judgment. They're going to say, wait a minute. What's going on? How come there is all this violence that is happening on a constant basis? I'm almost afraid to say it because of the world we live in, on a constant basis to Am Yisrael. I can't hear. You always amaze me. I have to take a breath because I have to have everybody hear what you said and I have to take it step by step myself. So, I know. This is Marcel's opinion, but we must stand in awe before Marcel's opinion, right? We all must. I'm going to try to repeat it. It's not going to be easy. What Marcel said first, and this part I can repeat, the rest of it you might have to correct me, is that what Habakkuk is saying is very similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu said, not only after Chet HaEgel, but also after Chet HaMeraglim. When he was arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time, so many years before this, not to destroy Bnei Yisrael, his argument was, what will all the nations say about Darkecha, about your ways? What will the nations say, right? It's like, for your sake, it's for your great name that you cannot destroy Bnei Israel at this time. And this is very similar to what Habakkuk is saying in this Pasuk. He's saying a lot. But here he is saying, you are going to cause arguments in the world about the way you act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about your derech. How is it that you interact with human beings? How is it that you do sachar va'onesh? How do you operate? And so you are going to cause a misunderstanding. We're going to have to see why he's saying there's going to be a misunderstanding. Because we do have to understand that Habakkuk knows very well that Am Yisrael are not angels at this time. I just want to finish this, honey, and then, because it's too much for one head. And then what Marcel also said was, Yonah was asking for Emet, right? But Habakkuk is asking for Rachamim. I want you to know, though, that he's also asking for Emet. It's going to come in this part, the next part of the Malbim here, and the next Pasuk. He is saying there's an alternate picture here. It's very, very interesting. And what she was saying is that it's similar to Eliyahu and Elisha, the difference between Eliyahu and Elisha. So we have Habakkuk and Yonah, Habakkuk and the other Nevi'im. Back to what you were asking before, Gitti, the other Nevi'im who are concentrating on getting Am Yisrael to do tshuva. This is very different because he is looking at another side of the picture.
Okay, I don't get it.
Wait, Chani wanted before and I stopped her. It was cruel.
Then you can't believe the Shema, because in the Shema by Yom Shemot Tishmur, if you're not going to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this is what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then you can't believe anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, because he'll have rachamim. So he has to show an example. He has to, and like you say, all along, in the beginning, I tell you what you're doing wrong. And they're not going to believe it. If they're not going to get that patch on their back, they're not going to believe it. And until we got Am Yisrael, until we got Eretz Yisrael, the Gayim all along thought, well, they were told that if they don't do this and this and this, then God is not going to have the rachamim for them. And that's why the Christianity came about. Because not
Aye.
No.
I know what she's saying. I know what she's saying. You're going very far.
Yeah.
I let you go on because I felt so bad that I didn't let you talk before. It was my guilt. But however, you're going really far. So what you're saying is, let's get to the point that you're making. The point that Chani is making is, but wait a minute, doesn't it say in the Shema, right, Yishamer Lecha, right, be very careful, Yishamer Lechem, Slicha, Pen Yivtel Levavchem, in other words, your hearts are going to be swayed and you're going to go after other gods, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, V'atzar et HaShemayim V'lo Yematar, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to start by not giving rain, and then if you keep on, you're going to lose the land, you're going to go into exile, everything's going to happen. But in Shema, it doesn't say anything about the tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to, in other words, closing the heavens, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sending us into exile usually involves another nation. What Habakkuk is saying, and Yonah too, is if you're going to use another nation as the kli, then does that other nation need to have some zechuyot that make them worthy of being the kli of Hashem?
Yeah, but if they go too far, then they're also going
to
be.
That's true, but that's the Habakkuk is saying this right now. Yonah said it about Nineveh. Why are you sending me to get them to do tshuva? Who needs it, right?
Let them
run. Yeah, let them be destroyed right now. And Habakkuk is saying, why are you using Babel? I want to remind you again that Yechezkel says at least once that I remember now, Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. I'm sending, or I sent. This is Yechezkel. I sent Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. My servant because he is doing my will. Did you ever get that funny feeling when he calls Nebuchadnezzar the creep? My servant? That's what he's saying. Yes?
But if you follow this logic, you get to the thing that we usually say that the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Not the reward of doing mitzvahs for the Gentiles would be that they get to be the lucky ones to hurt Am Yisrael. That's a funny reward.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be a reward. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a punishment.
Right.
So.
But ultimately, they
in the end of days, they'll feel bad about what they did.
Not just in the end of days. Well, where is Ashur today, and where is Babel today? Okay, it's Iraq, but it's not the same. Iraq and Iran and all those cute people that we dearly love. In other words, that the empire was indeed destroyed. We just had that at the end of Nahum. That was Nahum. Remember the destruction of Ashur.
But that's after they destroyed. The point is, the question you ask, do they have to have merits to be the lucky ones to be chosen to be the instrument of Hashem's din? You're saying that they're going to be the Lord and he's doing good.
To Hashem, and each one has its own tafkid. And that's the tafkid. I mean, you can't say that just Am Yisrael is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's everybody by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
We're getting into heavy stuff. And that is exactly, you know what? I think that we just proved the point of this pasuk. Because the pasuk ends by, it causes riv and madon, din. And we just did exactly what the pasuk was telling us. We got into riv and madon, and we said, but on this side, Am Yisrael deserve punishment. On this side, does the nation have to be good in order to be the Kli of Hashem? Whoa, whoa. That's what Malbim is saying, my friends. Let's go back. You were great. You followed what the Navi was saying exactly, even if you didn't realize it. But you did exactly. He says, Al Yedei Kach, through these actions of yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nosim Madon V'Din Udvarim Negdecha. People will start saying arguments and judgments against you, the way you act. Shebnei HaOlam, we just did this. Yesh Lahem Negdecha Din Riv U'Madon. All of the people of the world will be looking at this and saying, you know, I have a question about that, Rabbona Shel Olam. What do we do? What happens? Do we need to deserve to destroy all these things? Will we be destroyed? What's going on? Umafaresh mahu hariv. And now he is going to explain what the argument is. We didn't get to that yet. So we have to get to Dalid. And look carefully, or listen carefully if you don't have the text, at Pasuk Dalet. Al Kain Tafug Torah. Because of what you're going to do, then Torah will be weakened. Tafug is like it's going to lose its strength. V'lo yetze lanetzach mishpat. And justice will not come out as an eternal value. Ki rasha machtir et hatzadik. Because the evil person and machtir can be two things, surrounds or crowns, keter. So either the evil people, the evil one is always all around the tzadik, like is in control, or he crowns, it's the Rasha who's in charge. And he puts the tzaddik in his position, and if the Rasha puts the tzaddik in whatever position he's putting him in, does the tzaddik have the ability to act in a way of tzaddik? Or does he have to act in the way of Rasha? Al Kain Yetze Mishpat Me'ukal. Therefore, the judgment that comes out is crooked. He says, this is a crazy world, he's saying. What he's seeing in his vision. This is a crazy world. As a result of these actions, Rabbona Shel Olam, you are going to weaken the teaching of the Torah. I'm going to read you the Malbim. Al Kain, Bnei Ha'olam Toanim Negdecha Lemor. Therefore, the people of the world complain against you, saying, Hallo, Al Kain Tafug Torah. She'al Yedei Zeh Tifsak HaTorah Shehi Melamedet Ikarei HaEmunah. Therefore, because of this that's happening, it's like, not tifsak, it's tifasek. It's as though the Torah, a doubt will be put, a safek will be put on the Torah. I don't know if I said that, you know, grammatically correctly, but it comes from the word safek. A doubt is going to be put on the teachings of the Torah and on the ikarei emunah, on the bases of emunah, of belief that the Torah teaches. V'shashem mashkiach v'shofet tzedek. And that Hashem is a mashkiach and a judge, a righteous judge. Rabbon, when you act like this, a safek, a doubt is placed in people's minds about whether you are really conducting the world with righteousness. V'ata yachishu b'fanot haTorah mimcha sheroim sheharasha matzliach v'hatzadik oved with an aleph is lost. Well, now they are going to deny that you are a shofet tzedek because they're going to see that the Torah is denied because you see that the rasha is doing well and the tzedek is lost.
Does this go back to Abraham?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question. It goes. I can't keep to spetz a dick in Russia, right? Absolutely. In other words, the tradition that Habakkuk follows goes back to the tradition of Abraham Avinu. Arguing against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, definitely it goes back to the start. He's saying, HaShofet, Kol Adam, Kol Olam, Lo Yaseh. Mishpat. The Mishpat, the judge of all the land. It goes back, it is the tradition, he is following that tradition here. He's saying, what are you doing?
Abraham, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yonah, Habakkuk, are they asking on Hashem, are you doing something unjust? Or are they saying it's going to make you look unjust? Which question is
this? That's a loaded question.
And not only is it a loaded question, it's a very difficult one to answer. He's saying you're going to confuse the issue because you see, we like to think you do good and you get a reward, right? You behave yourself and you get a reward. Well, wait a minute. That person over there is one evil guy. Aren't we shaken up on a constant basis by everything in the world that we see? Ah, Estelle, yes.
So, this is not Moshe. I don't think. Here, he's arguing against Torah and Hashem's ways. Moshe said, if you kill the people, they're going to think you don't have the strength. You were able to take us out of Mitzrayim, but Hashem is not strong enough.
Gamze v'gamze. When you look at Moshe's arguments to Hashem, both right after the Egel and after the Chet HaMeraglim, he uses both. He says, Yigdal vata yigdal no koach Hashem kasher amarta. Okay, but he also says, what mayom ru Mitzrayim. In other words, that's with the Egel. So he's doing both. He's doing both. But one of the arguments definitely is, what will people say? And they'll doubt your strength is also. They'll doubt your Torah, they'll doubt your strength, they'll doubt your ability. What are you doing? It's the same large objection.
I think that's why Torah and
Abid is celebrating. Yeah, it keeps on going, doesn't it? What was that last?
It's applicable today as well.
It absolutely is applicable to today. It is applicable to today. October, whatever it is. I never remember. It is 2018. It is applicable to this day, this morning, when they put the names of the victims of that Pittsburgh massacre on the front page of the Jerusalem Post for those English readers who were here. It is applicable to today. Why? Why, Ravona Shalala? Yes.
I think it's even more profound than saying it's applicable today. To understand. We have the proof of, after the terrible Shoah, you had you had some people who became Esrim or Morphrim or more involved in upholding Yiddishkeit and making it go on. And you had those who said, if there's a God, Chas v'Chalila, who could do such horrible things.
Nachum. Nachum, people who, yes.
And I think that this is the thing that Habakkuk is talking about right now, that people, he's making the case for those people who say, I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. Mm.
Good,
who
very good.
That I'm out of
you are going to make people lose their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Torah that he gave us, in the way of Emunah that he gave us. One more comment, then we go back. It is extremely profound. It is extremely, what we are reading now is really, notice how we're shaken up by these questions that he's bringing up, and he's going to go further.
So the thing is, if Habakkuk sounds like he's talking to Hashem, the dialogue between him and Hashem, that this was written down, presumably because it was a nevuah that we need to hear. It's not just to us, it's just to Hashem. So yeah, okay, so he's there, so Hashem's going to make them. But what are we supposed to learn from that?
What are we supposed to learn from that, guys? Hmm? What are we supposed to learn from it? Anybody want to test that one?
That we are not in the position to make the judgment.
Okay.
These are some facts that were put out on the table, but we, with our lack of understanding, can make the judgment.
Okay. Yes.
Unfortunately, this is Moshe's complaint to Hashem. He says, I want to see your ways, I want to understand how you're running this thing. And Hashem is saying to him,
you can't. You can't understand.
Right. There are some things that
you can't understand.
Human beings cannot understand. You can make
all Hareni not kvodecha ki lo yirani adam v'chai. Yes.
You cannot make for what's on the paper today, you cannot say, well, I know the reason that this happened is because blah, blah, blah. Well, there are some things that Hashem, for his whatever reason, decides this is the way it's got to be now, and human beings can rationalize, or yes, or blame, or whatever, and the answer is there are certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to see why, where, and Hashem said, no.
To test on your MMA.
What, two people, okay, first Marcel, first, okay, Sylvie.
In Yiyov, the same question, and Hashem gives a hint why we can't understand. Were you there at the beginning? Are you there till the end? You see a fragment, so of course you can't understand. You're limited. I'm not limited. So that's why now you can't understand. Perhaps Tekun. Perhaps when Eliyahu and Avi will come.
Come, we'll all line
and
up.
And Yosef.
Okay.
Can I give an example? Maybe if a student would hear his teacher discussing with the principal something about, well, the student who's being talked about, that is actually listening in, will not understand or will misunderstand because of such and such. So the student is supposed to understand from this that he should be careful about misunderstanding.
I think that I don't really see where principals really have that overwhelming knowledge of what's going on in the world.
Okay, the student's mother.
your mother. Now there's another one. You hear your mother saying something. That makes it closer. Okay, my friends, just a few more statements because it is really heavy and we got to get down to what he's saying. It is really, it's amazing. You're going to love Habakkuk. He is unfortunately not that well known. You're going to love it because it is really a very profound treatment of this very problem. How does a Kadosh Baruch Hu decide what tool to use when it comes to punish Am Yisrael? Is it necessary to punish? You said they have to get a clap, right? They have
to.
And the whole idea of emunah, in other words, that is what Habakkuk is discussing for all three prakim. Oh, now we're going to bring that keita. It's so immense. It's so immense. Okay, my friends, can we do another person? I had such a feeling when I was going through this parak that we were not going to do very much. I remember thinking, as I did Pasuk, you know, one by one, and each one, as you could see, takes so long. Each Pasuk takes so long to understand. And I was thinking, boy, this is going to be quite a day. Okay, but I want to just get we had just read that it's going to weaken the Torah, right? Because it's going to show that harasha matzliach, that sometimes the rasha is successful, v'hatzadik oved, and the tzadik is lost. V'chein, what is he saying when he says, lo yetze la netzach mishpat? There won't be an eternal justice that comes out. Gam ha-mishpat ha-nimusi bein adam l'chaveiro, plain old ethical judgment bein adam l'chaveiro, between man and his friend. Hagam shehasechel m'chaivo, even though when it comes to that kind of judgment between man and his fellow man, usually the sechel, a human being, can understand what the proper thing is on an intellectual level. The efshar sheyafog min halev, and it cannot weaken from a person's heart. Ki mostot hamishpat kvuim belev ha'adam bateva. Isn't that interesting what the Malbim says? Man is naturally inclined to think about justice and understand justice when it comes to Ben Adam l'chaveiro. B'chol zot lo yetze mikoach el hapoal hamaaseh. Nevertheless, even though human beings for the most part understand what justice really should be theoretically, nevertheless, it doesn't come into actuality. That expression, lo yetze mekoach el hapoal, it doesn't come from the theory to the actuality. Why? Ki rasha machtir et hatzadik. What he was telling us in the pasuk, remember, ratzalomar, the evil person crowns the tzaddik, the evil person controls, what do you say, crown, puts him in his position. Ratzolomar gam hatzaddik sherotze lasot mishpat. I'm not going to say also, I'm going to say even, the tzaddik that wants to do the right thing, that wants to do justice, lo yuchal la'asoto, is unable to do it, ki harasha hu hamachtir et hatzadik, because the rasha is the one in control. The rasha is the one that gives the tzaddik his position. Ratzalomar, I love the way he puts this, shehu hamalbish oto keter va'atara. He's the one that puts the tzaddik, that puts the crown. Keter, whether it's a keter or atra. In other words, the rasha is the one in control. And even though he seemingly appoints a tzaddik to do the right thing, who, hatzaddik hashofet, who kavua lishpot, me'et hamelech harasha. That judge who might be a tzaddik needs to go according to the rules of the king. Who it might be a rasha, shehu natan ateret hanesiyut barosho. He's the one that put the crown of judgment, the crown of nesiyut, the crown of his position on his head. V'tzarichu lehitnahe kfi chukei haresha u'mishpatav shehem ivut v'ikul hadin. And sometimes the tzaddik, in other words, even when we know what's right and wrong, we are unable to act according to what we know is right or wrong because we are not in control. We're not in control. It is somebody else who is controlling what goes on. Bothers you?
Yes.
Sometimes, isn't it true that we don't control? I'm going to give you a silly example. It's not a good example because I don't want to say here evil and good. It doesn't fit the evil and good. But, you know, here in the Medinat Yisrael, the court system uses English and British law. It does not use Mishpat Ivri at all. And very often, when a judgment is made, it will not be according to what Torah would teach. I mean, this is a very small example, and Chas V'Shalom, I'm not saying anything now. I'm not, you know, going against the Medina. You know what I mean? I'm just giving you an example. Sometimes you are not in control. You just can't do so. Oh my God, I got it. Since we're talking about principals and teachers, sometimes a teacher might want to give a certain... This is so bad.
A certain what?
You're a principal.
I was on both sides of the fence, so I can talk. You want to give a certain grade to somebody, and sometimes you're not in control of the situation.
Okay.
You see what I'm trying to say? The person who is the machtir, the person who's in charge, the person who's the boss, is the one that settles things. What he's saying, Habakkuk, he's trying to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu that maybe there wouldn't have been so much evil among Am Yisrael, but they were not the ones always that were in control. They weren't always in control. Yes, my dear Estelle.
That's so upsetting because if you take it a step further, it means it's, well, you don't even go a step further, that it's the evil, it's the Yetzer Hara, like in the world or whatever, that's really in control and that the good does not have, I mean, it's a very negative, outlook.
It's a very realistic outlook.
But, I mean, I can see Hashem's really in control. We don't see the big picture. But here, it's like he's saying, according to Malbuch, that it's really evil is more powerful than good.
If you are giving Bavel, I'm going right down to the thing, straight.
Okay.
If you're giving Bavel the power that you're giving them in the world right now, they are going to be in charge. It will be impossible. They are evil. It will be impossible for anything good to happen because they are in control. What I want to do is let me go quick to the end of the Malbim because he makes it very clear. He makes it very clear. He has one pasuk. Rega, hold on. Kol ze divrei hariv v'hamadon shenosim ha'olam al hashkacha v'al hanhagat Hashem. All of this will be the words of the argument and the din, the judgment, that people will say when they look at what's happening. They're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not letting anybody do the right thing.
Wow.
They're saying, look at what's going to happen. They're going to say, why did you send them? Why did you give Bavel the strength? Listen. We just, Baruch Hashem, we got rid of Ashur. Yay! Of course, we got rid of Ashur after the entire kingdom of Yisrael was destroyed and sent out to the upper north and east to become assimilated. Not to come back till our time. Then we got rid of Asher. What are you doing now, Rabbanu Shalom, right? You got rid of Asher when they came outside of the gates of Yerushalayim. Good. And now you're going to send somebody else? Where's justice? Where's Torah? Where's your power? Why are you using them? All of these kingdoms... Well, we're going to get to this. He's coming to there. He's coming to this. What is a just war? What is a war that's proper? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, the war of Yom Kippur was when the
Okay, so Marcel's answer was very quick. Did you notice? She said right away, a just war is a war that a Kaddish Baruch Hu commands and tells us, right, that we can do. Okay, okay. What's a just war in the secular world?
The one we're in. The one, yeah, I mean, World War I was supposed to be a just war.
Okay, now we're getting to examples. Why was World War I supposed to be a just war? Oh my God, it's so late! Yes?
I don't have the Woodrow Wilson says that, right?
Woodrow Wilson said, we are going to, you know, we're going to straighten out Europe. Wow. No, really, we're going to, really, we're going to clean it up, we're going to make everything wonderful. Didn't we think we were doing that a little bit in World War II also? In other words, we, America is coming in. Really, I thought so. I thought so in my youth. I was very young, and I really thought we are going to clean it all up, right? The Yanks go marching in. Those of you who are younger than me wouldn't even, can't even imagine.
We didn't go in until we got attacked. We let Europe, we let the Nazis control Europe. We only, the United States only,
with Pearl Harbor,
went in after Pearl Harbor. Because they got attacked.
But
Pearl Harbor.
Wait, okay, wait, yes. Wait, Granny wants to say something and then before, don't go yet.
But we were, the United States, were getting armed and getting ready. So they didn't go in because we weren't ready yet.
Wait a minute. Let's not. It's really late and I have to let you go. What he is saying, he is really opening up these very big questions. Habakkuk. He is opening up the huge questions that we don't have answers to here. He is opening up the questions of why. Why is it happening this way? What is it? What made Bavel? I'm going to go back to what Chanarachel said before. Does the enemy have to deserve to conquer? Is it a reward? And is it a reward that they conquer Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael? Is it a reward that they kill people? What is it? Do people have a right to make war? Do people have a right? Do they want to control the world? Is that because they deserve to? In present times, in past times, you were talking about a just war. I really think it was very interesting that we brought up World War I and World War II and America. So he's opening up huge questions. Please understand that we have opened a box. It's not Pandora's box. We have opened a box of huge questions, and that we will plot along and see where it leads us. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.